19, 55,
that
56.
That was our song.
57, 55, the Platters recorded that.
Anybody back there?
Anybody old enough to remember the Platters and Only You, man?
See, you young guys, you don't know what you missed.
Yeah. We had some good music back then. You know, this being Valentine's, we decided to talk about marriage tonight. And this is going to be good for married couples. It's going to be good for people that want to get married. And it's going to be good for people that don't want to get married, because you can learn how to talk to some of your friends that are getting married. You know, actually, when you really come down to it, marriage is very rewarding, but it's probably the most difficult relationship known to mankind. And it all began back in Genesis 2:18, in the NLT it says, "Then the Lord God said, it's not good for man to be alone. I will make a helper who is just right for him."
That's what I like, the New Living Translation. That's why I put that here.
Okay.
"I will make a helper who is just right
for him." Right.
Yes, I'm just right for you.
That's right.
Because you needed help.
I sure did. If you read my Facebook, anybody read my Facebook page today? I said I wouldn't be where I am today without you being there for 53 Valentines.
That's right. And you have never missed celebrating me on Valentine's Day either.
No.
I got flowers today.
Anniversary, Christmas, birthday, Mother's Day, Valentine's. I have never missed.
That's right. You've never forgotten.
Nope. I haven't. You know.
So that's one thing you guys need to do. Don't forget.
Guys, don't forget that. Actually, I learned that from my dad.
You did.
But, you know, did you know there are no perfect marriages?
Oh, I got to fix this.
Oh, God, it goes over here. That's right.
It goes over here. The drums messed it up.
But, and you know the reason there are no perfect marriages?
Because
there's no perfect people.
That's right.
Now, you can have a good marriage, you know, and your marriage can be better after 50 years than it was the first day.
And it should be. You know, I mean, we're working on our 53rd year of marriage. Yes.
Yep.
And I will tell you, we're more in love today than we were back 53 years ago.
Yep.
Right?
Right.
That's
right. You better believe it.
But, you know, what happens so many times is that, and we've seen this, that so many times the minute that that a couple says, "I do," their marriage begins to deteriorate. And if it doesn't deteriorate in the first few weeks, just months later, it starts deteriorating. And that's not the way it should be.
And why is this? You know, why?
Well, because, you know, you stop pursuing each other. You think, I've caught her, I've caught him. Now I can just let down and I can just be who I want to be.
And romance stops.
That's right.
You know, and you don't say, "Oh, well, I don't have to put my best foot forward anymore." You know, sometimes you forget all, they forget their manners and they forget to court one another. You know, I've talked to so many people over the years that they did start taking each other for granted. I mean, you know, they don't still have the appreciation that they did when they first got married.
And you know, that's not the way it should be. So many times it's like, the person that loves you the most is the one that you treat the worst. And it should not be that way. It's so important. You know, if you see us in the mall, you'll see us holding hands and walking down the mall. And so many times, you know, that touch is very, very important.
Yeah.
That keeps your marriage alive.
You know, I guess through the years I've had guys come to me and say, "Man, my wife came to me and said she's leaving, and I don't know why. I don't know what's going on. As far as I know, everything's fine. You know, as far as I'm concerned, we're getting along great, you know." But you see, most of the time, after I start talking to them, most of the time, the husband hasn't taken time to really understand his wife, understand how she thinks, how she operates. You know, there are times that I just know, hey, I leave her alone. I mean, I don't say anything to her. I just leave her be, because she just has to have some of that. She calls it her me time.
That's right.
And so if I, you know, I've learned, and like she's been studying for Winter Bible. Okay, she's upstairs in her office. I'm downstairs in my office. I don't go up and bother her. I leave her alone. In fact, I was out here at the office, and I usually, if I'm leaving the office and she's at home, I call her, see if there's anything that she needs from the office or whatever. But I didn't bother to do that, because I understand once she gets thinking in an area, she doesn't like to be disturbed. Now, I'm not that way. You can disturb me, and I turn right back around and get right back into it. So, you know.
So many times, you know, a wife tries to explain these things, and the husband says, well, it needs to be this way. And, you know, we each have individual personalities, and we each, as I said, I need me time. And there are other things that I need. I don't like to be interrupted when I'm doing something. And so I learned, even from when our kids were little, when I would go to the grocery store late at night. They were asleep, and I could go and just, you know.
I was home.
And you were home. Yes.
You didn't leave them.
No, we didn't leave the kids. They were not home alone.
Yeah, we didn't have no home alone business.
But I would go to the grocery store, and it could be midnight. And I remember one night I went to the grocery store at midnight, and it was actually snowing. And I bought a lot of groceries, and the guy was taking them out, and he said, what on earth are you doing on a night like this, buying this many groceries? And I said, because that's what I want to do, you know? And so
it had to be a long time ago, because they don't have those package boys at stores
anymore. I know, unfortunately. And but, you know, we each need our space, and we need to each understand that.
That used to be a job when I was growing up anyway. I worked at a service station, my uncle's service station, but that used to be a job that a lot of the teenagers, baby package boys, would carry. Anybody ever do that? Yeah, several of you have, you know. You know, it would help if they had some jobs like that so kids could do them nowadays, you know.
But talking about that, I know one time as we were counseling someone, and the wife was trying to, she says, I try to get my husband to understand what I need, and he just out-talks me. I can never win. And so it's so important to listen to each other.
You know, a lot of times, guys, they don't pick up on signals.
No, that's
and they
sure.
should. You need to pick up on the signals.
That's
you know.
Right. That's right.
And we'll talk about that later on when we get over here in a minute. I'm trying to get comfortable in this chair. I'm having trouble.
You're having trouble.
Yeah,
getting comfortable.
I'm having trouble getting.
All right.
But you know, it's seldom that a man is the first one to seek marriage counseling. It's usually the wife.
Yes.
And she comes because her marriage is driving her crazy.
Yes.
And if he seeks it out, it's because she's driving him crazy.
That is so true, you know? But, you know, on the other hand, we've been talking about husbands and what they need to do. But,
yeah.
You know, wives, there's some things that we need to do in marriage. Because, you know, so many times, and I've heard men say this, I've heard them say, you know, who I thought I was marrying, now we're married and she's not the same person. Well, that's not good. And I will say to those of you that are not married and maybe at some point that you are, you know, going to be in a relationship with someone, be the person that you are always going to be. Because they need to see who you really are.
When y'all hear me say, what you see is what you get, you can ask her. It's that way. That's my daughter.
Right.
She said dad all the time to me, you know, because she thinks I should change something. But I've been going this way too long to change too much.
I mean, what you see in the pulpit is what I see at home. Who he is who he is. And that's
the way it should be. You should be yourself anywhere you're at. Whatever you're doing, be yourself and enjoy life, because that's what it's all about. You know,
so many times, you know, a guy will say, well, her personality has totally changed since we got married. You know, she used to be fun-loving, and now she's gripey.
Yeah, she would go to all and watch me play ball and go to the ball games, and now she nags at me because I'm playing ball.
That's right. And
if she... Tell them about me playing ball. I mean...
Oh, well, I mean, I knew that when... Now, am I a sports person? No. I could care less if I went to another game. But you know what? Because he did sports, and I supported him. I went to the games. And so it's so important to be, and we'll talk, one reason we've got notes is because I don't want to get off of, but
yeah.
I am. But anyway, so that we can get as much covered as possible. But, you know, it's important to support your spouse. I supported him in sports. I went to his games. But on the other hand, he did the things that I wanted to do as well. It's a give and take thing.
Yep.
And I knew that when I married him, he was going to do sports. That did not bother me. He practiced a whole lot. Well, guess what?
When I was associate pastor, every Sunday afternoon, even if I had to preach or have my sermon, I'm playing flag football with the guys from the church. And then we had a softball team. We won the church league so many times. And then we would go to Dallas and play in the commercial leagues. And they couldn't believe this church league team. We'd be down there at 2 o'clock in the morning, got in the loser's bracket and play ourselves all the way back to the championship. And we know all of us know we got to be at church at 9 o'clock in the morning. But, you know, that was our life. And she enjoyed that. But now when she wanted to go to chick flick, okay, we'll go
yes,
watch this.
Watches my chick flick
or
movies.
If there's something.
And
else.
I have to watch his John Wayne movies.
But you see, that's, and we all laugh about that, but actually that's where conflict can start.
Yes.
Because not understanding each other and not willing to give in with each other, you know. You know how somebody is before you marry them. Now, I had one guy, he got married. This girl went to every game and everything. After he got married, she said, I hate ball. I'm never going to another game, and I don't want you playing. But before they got married, she went to all the games and everything. That's what you have, you know. But now, we talked about some stuff, but we'll just sort of go here. Is anybody getting anything out of this? All right, you know, how do you keep the flame? You got to keep romance alive. Keep it going, you know.
First of all, you know, and of course we take this for granted because God is the center of our lives,
the
center of our marriage. But you must make God the very center of your life, the very center of your marriage. Because if you don't make him the center, your carnal man's going to come out. Your carnal woman's going to come out, and it's not going to be good. And so you need to make him the center of your life. You know, so many times people, we leave the Christian part of ourselves at church. I'm going to say that again. Many times we leave the Christian part of ourselves at church. You know, one of the things that I was always taught I was always taught.
Don't get off on your
shoulder. I'm not, but that God is with you all the time. There's a song. That said, there's an all-seeing eye watching you, And that was God. And so my parents told me, God is always watching you. So if you're not where we are, God still knows what you're doing. And let me tell you, God still knows what you're doing. But, you know, I see sometimes people that are, they're wonderful at church. Everybody thinks they're just the greatest person in the world. And at home, they're horrible. Yeah, they're horrible. And that's not the way that it should be. Listen, you need to make sure that you've got enough God in you that you'll take him with you to your house, that you're not cursing when you get mad. I'm appalled. I really, really am appalled sometimes with the actions of Christian people in their homes. That's not the way that it should be.
No, it's not. Well, let's go to something else here.
All right.
You know, the Bible talks about that in Genesis 2:24, NLT, this explains why a man leaves his father and mother, joins to his wife, and the two become united into one. Now, becoming one means more than sexual union. You know, we need to learn how to become one in our agreements and in our feeling, in our purpose. And it doesn't mean that you eradicate your personality, but you still, you know, I mean, many times we hardly ever eat at the house anymore. The kids are gone, been gone for a long time, and we stay at the office till 7 sometimes, 7:30. In fact, one time the security guard said, "You're the last one that ever leaves this place." I said, "Well, most of the time. But we'll just go out to eat." And I'll say, "Where do you want to go?" And she said, "Oh, I don't know, you know, where do you want to go?" And then I'll say something and she'll say, "Oh, that's exactly what I was thinking." Or I'll say something and she'll say, "That's exactly what I was thinking."
I'll say, "How'd you know that's what I was thinking?" Yes. But it's because, you know, when you become one, your thoughts become the same. I mean, there's so many times that almost sometimes I'll start saying something and he said, "I was just fixing to say that to you." But you know what? That does not come easy.
Now, becoming one means that you honor, respect each other and their abilities and their talents. You know, becoming one means you have to become flexible. Also, it has to do with her strengths and your strengths. And you partner together. Where I'm strong, she always pushes me that way. And where she's the strongest, I back off and let her take it. And just for an example. Okay, we got married in December 30th, 1965. I'm 26 and she is 20. We'll be 21 in May. Now, she worked with accounting stuff and all of that. I'm like a lot of guys. You know, if I run out of money, I live. You know, when I run out of money, I go to grandma's house or my aunt's house or somebody else's house. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Anybody been there besides me? You know, and I realized I wasn't a good money manager. So I told her, I said, "Okay, you handle the finances." And I can tell you right now, I don't know what we have in our bank account. I don't know who we owe at all, because I've never handled it, because that's her strength. It's not mine.
But let me say, because that has been delegated to me, I mean, it puts an awesome responsibility on me to make sure that I budget properly, that make sure that I don't spend things that I shouldn't spend on. So many times, you know, that's delegated to one of them, and they overspend or they don't make wise decisions. So if that's what you've been delegated to, it's important that you make wise decisions.
Now, you know, today in today's world, y'all got those debit cards. We had checks. We moved to this city in 1973. And this is 2019.
18.
18, yeah.
Don't make the years go faster.
I'm thinking somebody. Okay, you know, for you the kids that don't know, a book of checks is only about that thing. I don't know how many checks is in there.
They don't know what checks are.
Anyway, I have not even written enough checks to use the whole book of checks, and I only did that when she told me to. Now,
well, first of all, they couldn't read his writing, okay?
Now, what I'm leading up to is, if two people are trying to operate out of the same with a debit card, out of the same account,
yes,
you're going to get in trouble because somebody's going to forget to tell the other one. And the next thing you know, you're going to overdraw. So that's why whoever is the best at budgeting needs to take care of it, whether it's a man or the woman. It's, well, I'm going to be the man of my house. Well, you're going to be the man of your house and get you all in trouble because you don't know how to add two and two together. Come on. You know, one guy, he challenged me. This is years ago. Years ago. I was about, well, I don't know, I guess it's 30 or so, maybe. And he challenged me on this. He said, well, you're not even a man. You don't even take care of your finances. I said, well, let's go out back here and find out how much a man I am. Now, that's the way I was when I was younger.
I think you're still that way.
I'm still that way. But what I'm trying to say is we need to learn how to let each one's strengths and abilities be in operation. And it really helps.
Let me say one other thing here. It's important when you purchase big items, make sure that you are both involved in the decision-making process. One time this man came to us and said, my wife just purchased a whole house full of furniture, and I didn't know anything about it. That's not very good. You know, if you're purchasing whatever you're purchasing, you need to do it together. And also, when we purchase things, especially something that you're going to have for a while, we go and research. We research and research and research to make sure that what we're purchasing is what we're going to like 5 years from now, 10 years from now.
And you may pay $200 or $300 more, but you still have it, and your friends that bought the cheaper one, they've already had to buy two more.
That's right.
I mean, we, way back in 70, mm-hmm. when we moved up here, I guess.
Yeah, 73, I think.
73, you know, the microwaves are just, they called them radar ranges. A man had one out.
74.
We bought one. We still got it. Now we're not using it, but it was working when I set it in storage.
Yeah.
But she never throws nothing away.
I remember how much I paid for it. I paid $400 for it. That was a lot back in
74.
But you know what? It worked it's still working.
We did this when we, actually, it was just about the time Craig was born. We bought a television, and some friends of ours was buying a television at the same time. And so she did this research, and you could buy this brand or you could buy this brand. And she began to look at it, and this brand had, I mean, people were talking about how long they had this brand and the other brand. Now, it was about $200 more.
No, it was $50 more.
How much?
$50.
$50 more.
Only $50.
Our friends bought this one.
But the report was that on this one, you had a lot of repair bills. On this one, you didn't. Okay.
And so we bought this one. We were still watching this one, and they were on their third television.
Yeah, and lightning struck it years later is the only reason that it went out.
The only reason it quit is because the lightning hit it and come down. But what I'm trying to say is if you're going to make purchases, you need to work together on it. Think about it and on the spur of the moment. We made this decision when we were talking about getting married, that we would not make a spur of the moment decision on any purchase. Don't care if somebody is trying to pressure you. Hey, if you start trying to pressure me, I'll walk out. Because all you're trying to do, everything you're saying ain't true.
If somebody says, well, if you don't buy this now, tomorrow it's going to be $100 more, I'll say, well, I'll pay $100 more if that's necessary. Because you need to think about what you're buying. Now, another, and make sure that that's what you want.
And make sure that you're not overextending on your budget so that you're, so that, I mean, one time when we bought a house, we told the people that we'd bicker back and forth, this is all we can spend because we are not going to go over our budget, and that, so we have to change our lifestyle. You know, they kept pressuring it. I said, no. And she said, no. So.
Yeah. Oh, now, one other thing I want to say about this, not in our notes, okay? But everybody is different. Once that I buy something, I'm not going to go and look at newer models. Now, he will say, oh, let's go, you know, maybe we bought a car. Oh, well, it's fair time. Let's go look at all the cars at the fair. And I'll say,
well, they don't have them up here. And at the Texas State Fair, they got two buildings full of cars. And, you know, but here. And so I'd say, well, let's go. You know, no.
And I said,
it don't bother me. I just go see what they got new. I'm not going to buy anyway. I just want to see what they're doing.
Yeah, it does not bother him. You know, he can walk away. It's fine. Me, I know me. It does bother me. I want the latest model of everything. My dad, he loved gadgets and he bought gadgets. My mother loved dishes and she bought dishes, and I got both anointings.
And we got gadgets and we got boxes of dishes.
That's right.
In fact, unless they got broke.
I buy everything in pairs. I'm like Noah. Okay, I buy two of everything that I like.
if she goes shoe shopping and she finds a pair of shoes she likes, she buys two of them, two pairs.
And if I like them really well, I'm going to buy four. So,
unless it's gotten broke, we had that Francoma pottery that we got when we got married.
We still have it.
I know there's boxes of dishes sitting in the attic.
But anyway, because I know myself.
The kids will have fun with that.
I know. We're not going nowhere.
Not for a long time, anyway. Not for a long time.
They don't like them. So that's another thing, guys. Listen, as you get older, you know, make choices that just for you, not for your kids, because they're not going to like what you make anyway.
They don't care.
So anyway, okay, we're way off the subject.
Yeah.
But anyway, let me say this.
But it's still good marriage stuff.
It is. So I know me. I know I'm going to want the latest, and I know I'm going to be tempted, and I don't want to be tempted. And so what I have to do to control my temptation, I don't go shopping. Once I buy something, I have to not go shopping so that I'll be happy with it.
You know, we're talking about becoming one. You need to become one in agreement on how you're going to raise the kids.
Yes.
Because the woman may want to raise them one way, you may want to raise them the other way. You need to come in agreement, you know. You may, and actually, if you really work together on it, what you'll find out is you get a little bit of his family, a little bit of her family, and then y'all add your own to it, and you have your own way of doing things. That's in every way, eatings and everything else.
You need to talk about in-laws.
Yeah.
All right. Because
and how
that
you're going
to
be in agreement on how you're going to celebrate holidays. See, some people are big holiday celebrating people, and some are not. You know, some people are big on birthdays and some people are not. Like, I mean, around our house, we didn't have many birthday parties or nothing. And
Well, in our situations, because that some, you know, because of our schedule, it's like, okay, maybe your birthday. We may be in a crusade, or, you know, his mom and dad would be in a crusade. So what do you do? This is what you do. You're flexible. It's like, although this is your birthday, guess what? We just pretend. You know, you pretend. Okay?
We're going to celebrate here.
So even though your birthday may be on the 13th, we're going to celebrate on the 16th because we're going to be home.
And then because of with our grandboys, they all got sports and everything. We ended up, I think we finally celebrated one. Four of the five, we celebrated their birthday because they had games and stuff. But you learn how to work around things. And,
you know, I've seen, especially some women, well, my husband, he had to work on my birthday. We didn't get to do da-da-da-da-da-da. And I just say, what's the problem? We've always had to pretend, you know? I think the only time that we celebrated our anniversary, and if it were on Sunday or Wednesday, other than church, was our 50th anniversary. And I thought, well, after 50 years, we ought to be. Our 50th anniversary was on Wednesday night. And I figured after 50 years, we ought to be able to celebrate our 50-year anniversary on the night that it was.
But, you know, my dad, he always scheduled crusades during Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Because he said that's a good time to have meetings because people
that's
get
right.
off work. So I don't know. I just grew up that way, so it didn't bother me. I mean, whatever. You know, also, you need to realize that you got two families involved here now. So how are you going to celebrate? I mean, she's got her family. If you're not in the same town, now you got to figure out what you're going to do. And so you just work it out.
We would switch years. One year when we were living, not living here. When we were living here,
yeah.
My parents were always in Texas. And so one year we would spend Christmas with his folks. The next year we would spend Christmas Day with my folks.
And when the kids got to be about first grade, Craig was first grade, I think.
No, it was later than that.
Was it later?
Yeah.
We decided, she said, listen, we need to have our own Christmas. So we told our parents. Now, and hey, and the man talks to his parents and the woman talks to her parents. Don't do it. You won't make it.
Because your parents will always love you, but they might not love the in-law.
Yeah.
Okay?
So she told her parents. I told mine. I said, listen, y'all can come and celebrate with us if you want to, but we're going to start celebrating with the kids at our house, having our Christmas, and we're going to have it on Christmas Eve. And that's what we do. We still do it with our grandboys and with them. And so that's what we did. Then we told them, we'll come later to your house. And, you know, that's the way we did it.
And it's important to establish family traditions. You know, that's just the one tradition that we always have as we celebrate Christmas Eve, just with our immediate family.
Yeah, we those boys, those five boys, they start, oh, Nana's going to make her chicken and dumplings, because we have on Christmas Eve, we go to our house, we have chicken and dumplings, and then we open gifts, and then they come back about 3 o'clock on Christmas Day, and she's cooked a big Christmas meal. But I tell you what, them five grandboys and them two son-in-laws and myself, we can eat some chicken and dumplings.
Now, let's
soak in the knees. she makes one of them 18-quart roasters full of chicken and dumplings, and we eat most of it.
That's right. Well, let's.
But that's our tradition. See, we're talking about tradition. Learn to establish traditions. If you haven't got one, start doing it. And work it out, because that way you just let people know ahead of time. This is the way it's going to be. I mean, I just went to mom and dad. I said, we're going to celebrate our own. I want to do my own family, and you're welcome to come, and we'll come and see you later. But if you want to come over our house, this is when we do it. So, you know, that's just what I did. She did the same thing. We never had no problems.
All right. Now, we know that men and women are different, right? And they have different needs. So, guys, you need to understand the needs that a woman has. And wives, you need to understand the needs of a man. So we're going to talk about that. You know, what does a woman desire in a man? Well, we desire you to be romantic, all right? But just because we desire you to be romantic, well, I'll talk about that in a minute. All right. We like gentleness. We like for you to be considerate of our needs. And yet we want you to be strong. You know, we want you to protect us. We want you to love us. You know, it was interesting. I don't have time to read the scriptures, but you can look them up over in Ephesians 5, 22 through 33. I was reading those scriptures just before we came over here. And in those scriptures, it talks about the man and a woman. Woman should submit to her husband. It talks about all the things that we need to do. It was really amazing because in those scriptures, it says for a man to love his wife four different times. Love his wife just as he loves himself. And yet it only at the very end says, and wives, reverence your husband. Well, you see, the thing about it is when a man loves, really loves his wife, it's real easy for the wife to love you. And it's real easy for her to submit to you because you will cherish her. You will love her in such a way that you will honor her and you will treat her
properly. It
goes
on to say that you're to love her like Christ loved the church and gave himself.
And, you know, a wife wants to be your special sweetheart, wants you to remember the days, to celebrate the different things of the year. But sometimes, you know, a wife... I'm going to give this example, actually, of our daughter. It's okay if I use you. One time, she doesn't know what I'm going to say. But anyway, that's okay. She was the one that got me up here, so. But one time, as a teenager, you know, as a girl, teenage years are really sometimes traumatic. And so Denise was always... she always was able to express her emotions, her feelings. I'm not always good at that. I'm not always good at verbally expressing my thoughts, but she is. And so one time, I don't know what was going on. I think it was probably a boyfriend. I don't know really. And it was something. It had something to do with a boy, I think. Somebody, they'd broken up or whatever, and she was just crying, or somebody had treated her wrong. She was crying profusely. And so her dad said, what's wrong? And so she told him. Well, of course, you know, as the man, as the father, it's like, okay, I'm a protector, you know. And he said, well, I'll just do this, and I'll just do that, and I'll just do this other. And she looked at, I will never forget this. You've probably forgotten it. But I will never forget this. She looked up at him. You know, she wasn't being belligerent. She was being very respectful. She said, Daddy, I don't want you to handle my problem. I just want you to hug me and console me. And, you know, I thought there are some times that, you know, as a husband, guys, and sometimes we just need a hug. Sometimes we just need a consoling. Sometimes we just need to cry. And I know, guys, you don't like tears, but sometimes it just helps us to cry. So, you know, we want to be respected. We want to be appreciated. Romance. Affection. Romance and affection doesn't always just mean sex. All right? And romance and affection, those tender things, you know, saying, I love you, saying, you're the most beautiful woman in the world. I'm so fortunate to have you. That means so much to us. We need those kind of things to, all right, yes. I know you're going to turn red, so I won't say it. Anyway, we need those kind of things, you know, before other things, okay? All right.
Well, you know, sometimes we just be driving down, you know, going somewhere. I mean, driving to Dallas or somewhere. Or even driving from the home to here or something. I just reach over and pat her on her knee, you know, like that. I'm just trying to say, hey, man, I love you, you know. And a lot of people,
guys, I just looked at the time.
We got to quit.
Well, you got to tell about the husband.
Okay,
then,
but I want to say,
quit.
You know, a lot of times, a lot of guys is like the old guy. His wife said, "I just want you to tell me you love me." Sometimes he said, "I told you I loved you when we got married. If I change my mind, I'll let you know."
That's not what we need. All right. All right. Well,
now she wants me to talk about what the man likes. You know, he actually, one thing that he needs to know is that she is 100% behind him. And in the, yet knowing his faults and his weaknesses, she's still there and expresses confidence. Men are competitive. They're very competitive. And she needs to respect his ability and his authority, and because his manhood is continually challenged all the time. And there are times when he even doubts himself, you know. But she can lift you up whenever you need to be recharged, you know, when you've been deflated, and when you come off the platform and somebody says, that was a bad sermon, I didn't like that, you know.
Don't do that. I don't do that.
No, I'm not. I'm saying somebody says it. You always reaffirm me. You help me out. You encourage me. A man doesn't like to be lectured to, and he's not looking for a mother. He wants a wife, not a mother. Okay. And of course, we go back to sex is very important to a man, and everybody needs to realize that.
I'm going to quote Tony. I'm going to do it. Tony said, "Sex begins in the kitchen."
Now,
I told you I'd get you.
as you know, this, as you can tell, this is not rehearsed. We didn't know what either one was going to say when we got up here. But it's already after 8 o'clock. Did y'all get anything out of this at all? Yeah.
We only got through half our notes, guys. So I guess we'll have to do the other half next Valentine.
Next Valentine's. But, marriage is very... It's something that we need to work on all the time.
Yes.
It's not... It doesn't end when, you work on winning that lady, and ladies, you work on being, looking the best you can for that guy all the time. And you need to continue to do that even after marriage. You know, I've seen, in fact, one of my friends said, my wife, she never, unless we're going out, she never puts on makeup. She never fixes her hair. She never fixes up. You know,
he's hardly seen me without makeup.
No, that's the first thing she does when she gets up. And but I was used to it because that's what my mom did. But because they got ready for the day. And we, being ministers and pastors, you have to be ready to go at a moment's notice. So you don't really get ready for bed until it's that time, because you don't ever know when the phone's going to ring and you got to go to the hospital, or you're going to have to take care of something. That's our way of life. So that's just the way we are. I never go home and put, like a lot of guys do, lounge and stuff and all that. No, I'll keep my boots and everything on just like this until it's time to go and get into bed, because I never know when somebody's going to call and I need to go out and take care, and she stays that way. But you need to learn that, hey, guys, even when we're on vacation, I sometimes say, hey, is it okay if I might not shave today? And if she said, no, I'd rather you shave, I'll shave. Because, if that's what she wants, that's what I try to do. So, but we got a lot of other stuff here. We're talking about communication. That's one of the biggest problems with marriages is communication. People don't know how to communicate. And so we might
just have to have some classes, right?
Yeah, we might have to have some classes. I'm just thinking the same thing.
See? But one last thing is, as you are raising your children, because so many of you are still raising children, Make sure that your children do not consume your total life. Make sure that you spend time with each other. Because if you don't set aside a time just to be with each other, then the kids will not always be there. They're going to be gone very quickly, and all of a sudden, you are going to be sitting in the house, and it's going to be two total strangers because your whole life has been consumed around your children, your children's activities, and your communication about your children. And so make sure that you continue to grow your own relationship with your spouse.
Yes.
It's so very important. There are some people that say, I've never left my kids with a babysitter. Listen, you're doing yourself a disfavor. You need to do that. You need to take some time just for each other.
Did y'all enjoy this tonight? Let me ask a question. We've been wanting to try to do some stuff, and I don't know when we're going to be able to do it, but she said classes. Would any of you that you be interested in, we'd have to do it on off night, come into a marriage class? Let me see your hands. Wave them so I can see. Okay. We'll try to do something, okay?
Shall we have a kitchen there? Cook food.
Whatever.
That's another thing. Keep spice in your life. Keep humor in your life. Laugh. There are times when things get just really...
Laugh at one another.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. Because, you know, laughter will help your stress level. And so it's important. And many times now we laugh at things that weren't so laughable when they happen.
Yeah.
But it gives us something to laugh about.
We talk about it and brings up. All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, tonight we have just sat here and we've just talked with this congregation and those that have watched about marriage. You're the one who instituted marriage in the first place. You've told us in the Word of God how that a marriage should be, and we've tried to talk about that tonight. We pray, Father, that what we've said will have found lodgment in hearts, and Father, maybe something that was said will make a change in the people that were listed. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. If you need prayer for any reason whatsoever, if you'd like to find Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you'd like prayer for healing or any reason whatsoever, we have our prayer partners down the front. As we're dismissed, come and down here, they'll pray with you. Remember all the announcements Sunday morning. Sunday morning, I will be finishing up, I believe, the series, More Series, that I started a couple of Sundays ago. And then Sunday night, we're starting Winter Bible Seminar. The first two nights, I'm talking about covenant, I believe it is. The first two nights, I'm talking about covenant. And I got into that today, and man, Lynette, she come down there, and I'm all involved in this, but I'm really seeing some things about covenant that I haven't seen before. And so the first two nights I'm going to be on covenant, okay?
We had 943 on Rhema.tv and on Facebook, 2,000 views.
2,000 views anyway. I don't know how long they stayed with us.
I don't know.
Thank you for watching, everybody.
Yes, we say
be here Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. God bless. If you need prayer, come to the front right now. God bless. Hey, connection team, I forgot. Go find a first-time guest and take them. We got a special gift for you. And if you're a first-time guest, what do we say, church? Welcome home. If you're looking for